is.
Yes, okay. Let's talk about Good Boys, which is directed and co-written by Gene Stupnitsky, who he co-wrote it with Lee Eisenberg. They previously collaborated on Year One and Bad Teacher. Those names may not be too familiar, but two that probably will be are Seth Rogen and Evan Goldberg, who are producers on this, and who are, of course, the originators of Superbad. Now, the logline for this movie could not be simpler. It is basically Superbad, but younger. It's Superbad with the kids in the Stranger Things age bracket. And in fact, the kids are insulted by an older kid at one stage early in the film by being referred to as Stranger Things. There are three sixth grade boys, which I think is around 10 to 11 years old. Is that right?
Something like that.
Played by Jacob Tremblay, Brady Noon and Keith L. Williams. Jacob Tremblay, of course, who was so phenomenal in Room, the Lenny Abrahamson film. And again, they fill the same three Superbad roles. There's the meek kid, the brash kid and the super nerdy kid. And they are invited to a kissing party at which one of the guests present will be Brixley, who is Jacob Tremblay's character's the love of his, you know, very young life. And he's desperate to be able to get along to this party and finally be able to talk to her and perhaps hold hands and perhaps something more. So in order to get to this kissing party, this very complicated chain of events ensues where they, first of all, they don't know how to kiss, so they have to steal one of their father's drones and try and fly over to spy on some teenagers who live close by. The drone then gets caught by the teenagers who, in order to get the drone back, they task them with all these errands which put the boys in kind of low to mid-level danger, I think it's fair to say. But anyway, here's the moment at which they're trying to bargain to get this drone back and their day takes a turn for the worse.
We should have just told the truth. We're going to a kissing party and none of us have ever kissed and we're scared.
Lucas, I've had sex before, but I've never kissed a girl.
Look, can we please have the drone back? If you don't give it back, I'll tell my dad you stole it.
And I'll tell him that you're a pervert.
We'll tell the whole school.
This is sensual harassment.
We'll tell everyone that you're a misogynist.
I've never massaged anyone.
This is what happens when you don't respect women.
I respect women. My mom's my best friend.
What about me?
So this is actually a very easy film to review because it contains a grand total of two jokes. The first joke, which you hear an awful lot, is that these boys, because of their young age and lack of world experience, think that everything that's happening to them is incredibly intensely dramatic and dangerous. And some of it is. At one point, they have to run across a motorway. Another point, they have to fight off some drug-dealing students. But most of it is fairly low-level threat. And yet, it's approached by them as this cataclysmic day in history that they will remember forever. And the soundtrack reflects this as well. Every single time something mildly, very gently scary happens, there's this dah! On the soundtrack and bah, 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 all the way through. And also when they're cycling down this suburban street, there'll be this very kind of streetwise heavy-duty hip-hop playing in the background to kind of emphasise the gulf between their perception of the day's events and actually how generally mild and mediocre it all is. So that's joke number one. Joke number two is that because of their age, they don't really understand a lot of how adult life works. They will mistake, shall we say, certain artefacts for being certain other artefacts, certain things that are part of a fully grown person's life they won't fully understand. It's hard to kind of explain in a...
You're telling me, you know, I didn't get a word
of
it.
Well, you know, objects, implements that may serve purposes that over 18s would understand immediately. You kind of get what I'm saying here. The kids,
no.
The kids will mistake them for something innocent. So there's a very, very long set piece, mm-hmm. a very long set piece with what they believe is a CPR doll. Mm-hmm. So there we are. Mm-hmm. There's an example. And okay. Let's leave that and move on. That's joke number two. And again, this is driven home over and over and again. Here's the problem. When the two jokes that the film tells are always saying, okay, look, what's happening now? This doesn't matter. This doesn't matter. This doesn't matter. This definitely doesn't matter. Can you believe how little this matters? And then you think, okay, fine, it doesn't matter. You know, what? Show me something that I'm supposed to care about. I tuned out of this really within about 20 minutes because none of it is... The film goes out of its way to say how low stakes and how uninteresting what's going on is. Another enormous problem with it is it's so ingrained in the Judd Apatow-style comedy, which is, of course, Superbad, was one of the foundational texts of that whole comic school. I don't believe, you know, however good, you know, bless these little children and, you know, for getting this job. It's wonderful. I'm sure the parents are very, very proud. Maybe not very proud, but they're in the film at least. It's not a style of comedy that anyone, I think, under the age of 15 can persuasively deliver. This kind of very shrill, intense, amped up frustration at small things. It doesn't sound right when it's coming out of young heads, I think. And to see them going through it, there's something slightly mini-pops about it. Like, these are kids pretending to be adults rather than being allowed to be kids on their own terms. There is one mildly interesting idea, which is the sense that these boys are friends, primarily from an accident of geography. You know, they live close together, their parents are friends, so they have just hung out together as a matter of course, and they may not be friends for life. By the end of the, you know, by the time they're slightly older, this won't be a relationship that they particularly remember. But the film doesn't really do anything with that until the very, very, very end. It's almost what happens next after this that would have made the really the exciting and stimulating comedy. I thought an awful lot about Jonah Hill's film Mid-90s, which was out, I think it's actually out on Blu-ray and DVD quite soon, like in the next couple of weeks, which again takes this kid who's about 10, 11, 12 years old and follows him to parties, you know, the first experience of sipping beer, getting into these scrapes with older kids, skateboarding, you know, listening to very kind of heavy duty hip hop. But in that film, you understood that it mattered to the kid and that was seen as something lovely rather than something daft. That film embraced what it felt like to be at that age and to think that everything you were doing was the most important step you've ever taken in your life, because at that age it kind of is. And because this film relentlessly undermines it and keeps telling you that ultimately, who cares what's going on here? I didn't care.